every member disconnected in the body of Christ will die. Why? Because it's disconnected. Doesn't matter how pretty your little pinky is. You know, those nice, pretty, I don't have pretty nails. But I've seen some of you, you know, you got pretty nails. You know, but some of you are like me too, you don't have pretty nails. But it doesn't matter how pretty this little pinky is. When you cut it off the hand, you set it over here, it's going to dry, rot, stink, and then death. Done. So same thing. You disconnect a member from your body, from the body, it will die. So I've been preaching, teaching on Acts, the book of Acts. Today, we're going to continue in the book, in chapter 4. So I'm going to just introduce, pretty much spend some time, a couple weeks in chapter 4, because chapter 4 is so rich. I love it. It's like, wow. Acts. I encourage you guys, read the book of Acts. Spend time in it. You know, be filled with the Holy Spirit. The book of chapter 4, I title it pretty much courage. One person's courage can be a majority. And especially nowadays, more than ever, as a believer, you need courage. If you're a coward, if you're afraid, if you're afraid to speak up for the truth. What's going to happen to you? Verse 1. While Peter and John were speaking to the temple, to the people, they were confronted by the priest, the captain of the temple guard, and some of the Sadducees. Stop right there. We don't have time to go back. And I really like the way they say it here, because in English, when you study these guys, I mean, you guys go ahead and study, because this is not a Bible study here. This is just a lesson in sermon. But in French, they call them les Sadducees. In Creole, it's same word, Sadducees. But in English, it said Sadducees. You know, those guys who were sad, you see? I mean, I meditate on that. I'm like, man, that's terrible. Man, these guys, they were really sad. They were stiff. They were religious. They were sad, you see? You see what I'm saying? You see? And if you study them, you're like, man, oh, God, have mercy. And Jesus dealt with those Sadducees. Jesus dealt with them. Everywhere they go, they spread sadness. Everywhere they go, they want to put yoke of slavery on people. Everywhere they go, they wanted to tell people, well, you can't do this, you can't eat that, you can't act like this. This is how you should be. This is how you shouldn't be. You shouldn't dress like that. You know, these guys, those Sadducee guys, they get together with the Pharisees, and they came up with one law. One of the law they came up with is, you're talking about money, before we leave, we take the offering. We ask the ushers to stand in the back, and we thank God for your faithfulness. But those guys, one of the things they did, they said, okay, this is what we're going to do. If you have your tithes and your offerings, and, you know, your tithes can be 10%, 50%, whatever percentage you want to honor God with, or your offerings, if you have that ready, and then you have a family member somebody in your family that needs some money, you better not touch that money. And they use the word korban, which means in Greek, set apart. But then, I mean, it could happen. Understand, if you have your tithe money, nobody's going to die on your tithe money. But also, you shouldn't use your tithe money. Be like, all right, well, I'm going to just support the whole world with my tithe money. You can't do whatever you want with it. The best way to show God, you honor God with your possession, is to give a portion of it. And I, you know, side note, I am thankful for each of you who value that and who are supporting our church, this ministry, faithfully with your tithes and your offering. And if you haven't, please pray about it. It's, you know, it's something God wants you to do. Okay. So those Sadducees, you know, they came with the Pharisees and they told the people, you don't give, You don't help your family with that money. You let your mother died on that money because you tell them that money is Corbin, meaning that money has been set apart for God. You remember what happened in chapter 3? Peter met the guy at the beautiful gate saying, dude, I don't have money, I don't have silver, but you know what? I'll pray for you. I'll pray for you. I am out there, you know, just touching, doing many different things, meeting people in the community. Everybody that I'm talking to, I'm looking for an opportunity to pray for them or to speak in their situation. And that's the way you, as citizens of heaven, you should live your life. Seize, it says in chapter 3, Peter saw his opportunity. Don't miss out your opportunities. You know, sometimes we're so involved in our own little troubles, you know, like the horses. What do you call these things? Blinders. You know, the horses, we like so focus into our own little world. Me, my pain, me, my trouble. And then we fail to see those opportunities. Peter didn't. Peter saw the opportunity. And then the man was healed. And all of a sudden, the last verse in chapter 3, you know, it says, when God raised up this servant and Peter gave him a big, big speech, explain why the man is alive, could walk. And then while Peter and John were speaking to the people, they were confronted. Those guys were authority. Those Sadducees, you know the crazy thing there? They had authority. There's nothing crazier or sadder. There's nothing more crazy than a religious person in authority or with a big voice. People listen to them. People think what they say is the truth. And a lot of people don't want to go find out the truth for themselves. That's why I tell you, don't take my word for what I'm saying. Go read the Bible. Be like the Berean, we're going to get there, the Berean Christians. They went and listened to Paul, and then they go and they went in the word to see if what this guy is saying is right. There's a lot of big boy preachers out there. But there's a lot of Christians who doesn't want to hear the truth. They just want to hear the sun's hot outside. It's going to be a beautiful day, 88 degrees. That's awesome. It's time for a bike ride. That's what they want to hear. They don't want to hear, repent, turn from your sin. We come to God, spend time in the presence of God so you can be refreshed. They don't want to hear if you feel like you're in the desert, the problem is not there's not enough water. The problem is you're not drinking. You see how much I could elaborate on those Sadducees? They were troublemakers. These leaders were very disturbed. Why? That Peter and John healed the man. You see how evil they were? Not only that, Peter and John was teaching the people through Jesus there is resurrection of the dead. That was one of their philosophy, theology. They believe that once you're dead, you're dead. I've spoke to people like that. It's sad. I tell people, man, I would rather believe there is no hell. I'd rather believe there's a hell and go there after death and find out there's none than believe there is no hell and to get there and realize there is a hell. That makes sense? I've heard people say, you know, accepted Jesus for fire insurance. Okay, but then you can't do that. You accept Jesus so you don't go to hell because you can't just confess Jesus as your Savior. Jesus must be your Lord until the trumpet sound or death comes. Verse 3, they arrested them. They got there like, well, you guys, you know, I don't know why you're talking to those people, you know. And they told the guards, arrest them. They're preachers, missionaries, who are being arrested for preaching the gospel. There are pastors here, even here in America, who are afraid or maybe intimidating to speak the truth because they don't want people to hate them. Or because they don't want to offend people in their church. I said it, I'm going to say it again. I love my church. I love you guys. I'm going to speak the truth to you. Because God is my accountability. And I pray that you would have a heart that is after the truth. When I speak the truth to you, it might hurt you. But take it. Because the truth will set you free. The truth will lead you to Father. They arrested them. Since it was already evening, they put them in jail until morning. But many of the people who heard their message believed. The number of men who believed now totaled about 5,000. It was a church with 5,000 people, a movement with 5,000 people. The next day, the council of all the rulers and elders and the teachers of religious law met in Jerusalem. Annas, the high priest, was there, along with Caiaphas, John Alexander, and other relatives of the high priest. They brought in the two disciples and demanded, by what power or in whose name have you done this? What power? What did they do? You guys remember chapter 3? They healed a crippled man. And then they were telling the people can only be saved in the name of Jesus. You know, I've heard, I don't know if you have, but I've heard people talk about there are many ways to God. Help me out. Preach it to me, please. There is. Amen. All right, let's go eat. Sermon's done. I still have a couple more minutes. So good. There's only one way to God. There's no other way. And there's only one truth. Jesus is that truth. I like this. Verse 8. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Every day you pray this. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Because sometimes you might feel a challenge. You might encounter those Sadducees. People who wants to shut you down. People who wants to shut you down. Guess what you need? You need a fresh outpouring of the Holy Spirit right there. And I told you, being filled with the Holy Spirit is not just all this. No, no. It's to be aware of the situation and have the ability at the moment to speak the truth, into the situation, to prophesy into the situation, or to make a bold stand, to know to stand for what you believe. Remember the fear of the Lord? The fear of the Lord is to care more than what God thinks, than what other people think. I'm not going to be like, I don't care what you think, because those Christians, then they end up hurting a lot of people. Remember, our priority, priority number one is to love people. It's not to hurt people. Because what we don't understand, you can't force the truth in people's throat. You be the truth. You speak the truth. How? In love. You speak the truth in love. Well, what does that mean, speaking the truth in love? Well, help me out. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Love is kind. Well, love is kind. Well, love is patient. There it is. Love is patient. You know what that means? Sometimes you just have to be patient. And I don't have enough of that. And if you like me, can I have an amen? Okay, I do have some people like me here. Love is kind. Love is patient. Love waits. Love wait. Love wait. Love wait. If we could change people, we would start with ourselves. It says, verse 8, then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to the rulers. He said to them, rulers, elders of our people, Are we being questioned today because we've done a good deeds for a crippled man? Do you want to know how he was healed? Or let me clarify, clearly state to all of you and to all the people of Israel that he was healed by the power of the name of Jesus. Not because we fasted. Peter, I can feel Peter, you know, because Peter, he got filled with the Holy Spirit. So he was probably a little charismatic, you know. I mean, he was excited because I'll tell you, when you get the Holy Spirit, it's like there's that joy. You know, it's like, man, it's the Jesus. When you fill with the Holy Spirit, life is not boring anymore in Christ. So Peter had that fire burning and he's like, guys, let me tell you this. This guy you see right here, he's healed. Not because we anything. This guy is healed because of the power of the name of Jesus. That's why I said, any mature preacher or believer, everything they do, they will focus to lift up the name of Jesus. Lift up the name of Jesus higher and higher. We're not here to make a name for ourselves. We're not here to make our church famous. We're not here. We're here to see Jesus lifted up. Guess what? When the name of Jesus lifted up, you all come here in this place, you're going to be blessed. You're going to want to come back for more. That's why I come every week for more. I come in the sanctuary. Why do I come and soak in the presence? I come and soak in the presence because I know there's more. You know, when you go for ice cream, why do you go for ice cream? You guys, I got you. It's okay to drink, to eat ice cream. But you go for ice cream, coconut ice cream, because it's good. You want more. On a warm day, I want more. That's what Peter said. You guys, you know it. Jesus the Nazarene, the man you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead. For Jesus is the one we've heard in the scripture where it says, the stone that you builders rejected. Come on, oh God. I pray, I said, Lord, as I build this ministry, give me a grace to focus on the stone that will hold the house. Because we can have everything else. We can have every other program. If we don't have Jesus, the stone that will hold us, the cornerstone. If your life is not built on that cornerstone, guys, we will fail. That's why our focus is on Christ. That's what Peter is saying here. I just love this. It says, guys, you missed it. Jesus, the stone that you builders. Why did he say you builders? Because God placed the priest in the house to build the house of God. We sing that song earlier, right? These are the days of Elijah, of Ezekiel. We're building the temple of praise. God set the priest. Those Sadducees, God set them, established them in the temple to lead people in God. But then they create this big old religion. They had this all these rules. They weren't follow the rules. They put rules on people. You know, and those people, they became blind, you know, and they were just blindly following those Pharisees and Sadducees. The stone that you builders rejected has now become the cornerstone. And it says, there is salvation in no other one else. No one else. God has given no other name under heaven by which we must save. God has given no other name by which you must be saved but the name of Jesus. There is salvation. Oh, my goodness. So right there, I want to stop right here. And I'm probably going to continue next week, but I want to branch to talk about Peter's courage. Courage. In those verses we just read, we see that how important it is for us believers to have courage. And more than ever, I release over your life courage. I release over your life. Now, when I'm talking about courage, I think in the past, believers have become unwise. We don't know when to shut up. You know, we think we always have to preach, and yet the best way, the more, there is a preacher that says, preach the gospel at all time and use word when necessary. You preach all the time, but use words when necessary. Let your light, let your action, let people see. Oh, okay, I see everybody here is going crazy, but why are you always different? Let them come to you and ask you, why are you always? And then you say, what did Peter say? Well, it's Jesus. It's the powerful name Jesus. It's that relationship I have with Jesus. You know, and they might say, oh, you one of them. No, I'm not one of them. I have a relationship with Jesus. You know, you see religious people that goes to church, always, luya, 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 and then they go to work, everybody hates them. Guess what? They're so mean. They're mean. They go, walk to church, walk to, in work, and don't say good morning to anybody. Acts chapter 4, verse 12. I'm going to read verse 12. I just read in the New Living Translation. You don't have to put it on the screen. But I like what it said. It says, there is no one else who has the power to save us. And I declare this over Haiti, over America, over our churches in the Ukraine. You know, PK is in the Philippines right now, what they're going through. There is no one else. My brothers and sisters, there is no president. There's no parties. There's no one else. There is no one else. No one else who has the power to save us. Why? There's no one else that can save your children from this perverse generation but the name of Jesus. For there is only one name to whom God has given authority by which we must experience salvation. There is no program we can put in place to attract people. And then I'm going to jump from 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5. It says, for there is only one God and one mediator who can reconcile God and humanity. That's it. That's why we need to know the truth. There's only one mediator, one person that can reconcile God and humanity, the man, Jesus Christ. He gave his life to purchase freedom for everyone. This is the message God gave to the world at just the right time. And I have been choosing as a preacher and an apostle. This is one of my favorite verses. I like this. It's like, yeah, I've been choosing as a preacher. And guess what? People must know. There's only one God and one mediator. I tell you, I'm realizing the more you preach the word, the less you get to be in trouble. Well, you have trouble. I mean, let's say some people, I don't know, not any of you here. Let's say somebody would get offended with what I'm saying right here. Well, is this my word? I believe the Bible. Now, if you don't believe the word of God, then that's between you and God. I'm not talking to you about my personal conviction. You already know I like blue. Huh? I don't mess around. I always have blue on. I'm a simple guy. You know? I love that. And I have been choosing to be a preacher to teach the Gentiles this message about faith and truth. I'm not exaggerating. Just telling the truth. What accounted for Peter's boldness here in this verse? And I'm going to finish with the truth. Peter didn't fight. Peter didn't notice in Acts chapter 4 from verse 1 to verse 12. Peter, he wasn't defending the name of Jesus. And I think sometimes we get in fight because we want to defend the name of Jesus. You know, I'm a believer. You know, you shouldn't talk bad about Jesus. And then the way you portray yourself, bring yourself to people, you start making enemies. Let Jesus defend his name. Live the change he's doing in your life. You know, people are using the name of the Lord in vain. Or if you have the possibility, the opportunity, well, you might be able to tell them. But it's really none of your business to go out there. It's like, why are you always cursing the name of the Lord? You're creating enemies. And here, this is something I see from verse 1 to verse 12. What accounted for Peter's boldness? Not his education. Because if you read verse 13, it says, the members of the council were amazed when they saw the boldness. Peter wasn't shy. Are you bold? Do you believe what you know? Do you really believe the name of Jesus can heal? Do you really believe the name of Jesus can heal, can set somebody free from addiction? Well, I believe it. You know how I believe it? Because if I talk about Jesus' power to change someone, I have testimonies in my life. Well, I can tell somebody how Jesus changed me from last month. I can sit and tell you testimony, what I've been dealing with, my thoughts, my worries, and then how I encounter Jesus. I press on, I look for Christ, I fasted, I go deep in the presence, I cry out, and I encounter Jesus. Did I go to a seminar? Did I go to a conference? Did I pay $500 for a conference? No, I just go up in the mountains. Not literally. I just go somewhere there's no distraction. I cry. I say, Jesus, I need you. I need to hear from you. This is what I'm dealing with. I need your touch. I need to hear from you, Lord. It was not Peter's education, but his experience with Jesus. I was going through Rhema Bible School, and there was one preacher, one teacher. He said something that really stuck with me. He said, it's good to go to Bible school, get a degree, especially now, depending where you go. If you want to lead a church, they're going to ask you for this degree, that degree, and this diploma, this license, and whatever. But you can only learn to lead a church, God's church, on your knees with the Bible. That's it. If God calls you to ministry, the only place you're going to learn to do it effectively, right here. On your knees, in the Bible. If you want to live a victorious Christian life, a life that's being transformed on a daily basis, a life that is reflecting the power that raised Christ from the dead, the only places you find it, not going to concert, not going to, those things are good. But the only place you will be able to experience the power that raised Christ from the dead is, when I say your knees, I'm talking about the position. You don't have to be on your knees. It could be on your rocking chair, your favorite chair at home. With you and Jesus and his word. And drink. That's how it happens. That's how it happens. Because Peter wasn't educated. You all know the Gospels. Peter was a vagabond. He was a fisherman. Some manuscript even said Peter only did, you know, maybe eighth grade, you know, age, not eight, like fourth grade or something like that. He wasn't high educated. But Jesus took Peter and made him the lead, the head of the church. Wow. Because of Peter's experience. More than ever, leadership in the church requires courage. Now our age, to be a believer, it requires courage. It requires courage. And for courage, you need to seek the truth. You never find yourself until you face the truth. This is a quote from St. Augustine. It says, where I found truth, there I, my God, is found. Truth is not what, but who. And that's what people need to remember. We don't have to argue about the truth. Jesus said, I am the truth, the way, and the life. No one comes to the Father, John 14:6, no one comes to the Father except through me. For this statement to be truth, each element in this statement needs to be true. True. Jesus said, I am the way, and he's the only way. We already get clear that out. So if Jesus is the only way, he's the only truth. It's not like Jesus is the only way, but he's not the only truth. He's the only truth, and he's the only life. Because if he's not the truth, he can't be the way. There's another quote I find from Benjamin Franklin. Half-truth is often a great lie. I like this. That's going to be our marquee this week. Half-truth is always a half-lie. I mean, half-truth is a great lie. Oh, I don't want to offend you, you know? So I gotta give you half-truth. I'm sorry for you. I'll give you all the truth. And I pray that you give me all the truth, too. You know, I was talking to a friend, and I was just giving him the truth on certain situation, and he's like, no, I don't like the way you talk. I wasn't talking hard or anything. He wasn't receiving the truth. I said, just pause for a minute. I'm not disrespecting you. I'm just speaking the facts. Am I wrong? Well, I said, you're a believer. Am I wrong? Well, I'm not wrong. So therefore, what's the problem? The problem is not the truth. Are you willing to accept the truth? Okay? Truth be soft in telling. And implacable and absolute in principle. The truth should be our foundation as believers. A lot of people ask themselves, what? What is truth? I was thinking maybe I'll come up with a subject, what is truth? But today, what is truth? Since the beginning of time, everybody's trying to figure out this question. What is truth? That's why you have a generation who comes with my truth, your truth. Well, just think about it. My truth right now, I've got 3 children, one's married. My truth right now, I'm not a grandfather. But that truth will change. Our truth right now, it's a beautiful day out there, sun shining. I tell you, it's perfect. What they call paradise in Florida. Okay? But that won't remain because the weather can change tomorrow. So it changes that. See, truth doesn't change. Truth can't be, this is yours. That's what we call perspective. Perceptive. Perspective, too. Don't you love this? Jesus said, John 17:17, sanctify them by your truth, by the truth. Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is the truth. The word of God is the truth. You know, decades ago, some of the preachers, we start watering down. You know, Kendra does, you know, you ladies, maybe some of you had like more children than the juice. So what do to have more juice? You add water in the juice. Remember those days? You know, the kid want more juice. They don't know better. They don't know better, but you know they want more juice. What do? You just add a half a gallon in the juice, in the gallon. Until one day they visit grandma or their aunt, and they had the same thing, and they're like, man, how come grandma's or auntie's juice tastes a little better? And then auntie says, well, mine is pure juice. And then they come back home and says, Mom, how come? I mean, and then they keep an eye on you, and one day they caught you adding water. That's what we started doing with the truth. We add water to make sure people's bellies full. When in reality, a little bit of juice with all the vitamin is really good for you. Know the truth will build your conviction. Nowadays, more than ever, we need conviction like Peter. I need Peter's conviction. I want to know. You know, I'm not waving from the left to the right. When someone asks me why am I the way that I am, I've got the answer. I don't have to, let's see. Well, I'm talking to this person. When I talk to this person, you got to give him this answer. When you talk to that group, you got to give him, no, this is it. That's why you build all your personal conviction on the Bible. You build your personal conviction on how to raise kids on the Bible. You build your personal conviction on marriage as on the Bible. If you're running a business, you build your personal conviction on the Bible. In friendship, you do it on the Bible. Because the Bible is our constitution. We are citizens of heaven, and it is our constitution. Proverbs 30, verse 5 and 6. It says, the truth blesses and consecrates us so that we are set apart for his holy purpose. Wow. That's a good verse, huh? Do not add to God's words, or he may rebuke you and expose you as a liar. Proverbs chapter 30, verse 5 and 6. Don't add to God's word. Every word of God's proves true. He's a shield to all who comes to him for protection. Oh. Outside of Jesus, who is the truth, there can be no holiness. Psalm 43, verse 3. Light and truth are faithful guide. It says, send out your light and your truth. Let them guide me. Let them lead me to your holy mountain, to the place where you live. And this is my conclusion right now. You know, I don't know, I invite you just to close your eyes for a minute. Is God speaking to you? Do you need to just firm again your conviction in the Lord? You know, what is the Lord talking to you? I'm just going to take a couple more minutes to give you some time to respond. Just going to play for a minute and give you guys a opportunity to respond to God's message this morning. Father, we thank you for your word. We receive it. We receive it, Lord. We receive it, Lord. Have you been compromising? Or do you need more conviction? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Father, we ask that you would forgive us for all those times we miss opportunities, like we've been talking about. We miss the opportunities because our life, or the way we are, the way we, you know, we water down the truth. And that causes us to live a life with no conviction.